I just want to get a sense of who all is in the room. Who here is from a local Department of Public Health? Excellent. Who here is from a state Department of Public Health? Great. Federal? Okay, what about planners? Do we have any planners in the room? Great. And then I guess one other question is, or academics? I guess it's probably the other group. Who here is already doing what you would consider health in all policies? Oh, that's great. That's great. More hands than I was expecting. My name again is Meredith Lee. I work for the California Department of Public Health in the Office of Health Equity on our Health in All Policies team. It's quite a mouthful when you say it all together. And today, the title of this presentation is Healthy Planning, Healthy Communities, How Partnerships Lead to Results. And I'm going to give one example from our work in California and Health and All Policies around what we call the General Plan Guidelines. But before I get into that, I first want to acknowledge and thank my colleagues who worked on this project with me, Dr. Elizabeth Baca and Seth Ligny from the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, who were unfortunately not able to travel out here today, as well as Leanne Dillon and Julia Kaplan from our Health and All Policies team, and Dr. Connie Mitchell from the Department of Public Health. And I have no relationships to disclose at this time. So I'm going to focus, again, like I said, a little bit on our work around planning. And to do that, I'm first actually going to back up and provide a little bit more context around some of the work that we're doing in California on our California Health and All Policies Task Force and with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research. And then moving into a little bit about some just basics for general plans, which in many other communities are called comprehensive plans. Provide a little bit of background on how we're integrating health into these plans, into the guidance for these plans. A couple example policies if we have time, and then just actually bring it back and talk a little bit about what's going on beyond the state of California. And so I'm really excited to be sharing this work. It's the culmination of really over 5 years worth of work from the Health and All Policies Task Force and beyond. And I hope that you're able to actually take some of this work and bring it back to your local communities, especially for those of you who are doing health and all policies at the local level. And so, like I said, just a little bit more background on who we are. So the California Health and All Policies Task Force was formed in 2010 by then-Governor Schwarzenegger. And it was formed out of the recognition that there are issues out there, that what we call sticky or wicked problems, that are beyond any one agency, department, or office's purview. So these are things like climate change, childhood obesity, things that no one department can solve by themselves. And in fact, no government alone cannot solve by itself. And so today, we bring together 22 different offices, departments, and agencies from across the state of California. And these include our Department of Transportation, Food and Ag, Department of Education, Environmental Protection, and many more, as you can see. And our main goal is really to work to promote health, equity, and sustainability into the work of government, focusing on areas where no one agency, department, or office could do the job alone. So we're really looking for those issues that really cross the boundaries of the different agencies. And we do this through a consensus decision-making process and really focusing on the co-benefits or the win-win opportunities. So, of course, in 2010, when the governor started the task force, he unfortunately did not provide any funding with it. And so the way we were able to keep our partner agencies coming back to the table is really focusing on what their goals are and looking for opportunities where we all share those same goals and making sure that we're meeting them where they need to be met. And all this work is facilitated by the Department of Public Health in partnership with our team from the PHI, from the Public Health Institute in California. And this is where my role comes in. And then I also did want to highlight one of our partners, so the Governor's Office of Planning and Research. They've been the main lead on this work around the general plan guidelines. And the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, they report to the governor and the cabinet, and they focus on long-range planning and related work. So these are, again, things like climate change, emergency preparedness, the drought. And so all these issues, again, also cross many different agencies at the state level. So just really quickly back to the task force and a little bit about our work and our theory of change. So this is a very simplified logic model that I have up here. But I actually think it does a really good job of illustrating kind of where we are and what we're thinking. So I know we have a number of local departments of public health in the room. We're at the state level, and we know that the job of really building healthy communities really happens at the local level. And so our work is really to make sure that we can facilitate locals being able to do their jobs. And so we do this by focusing at the state level on integrating health equity and sustainability into guidelines, grants, programs, initiatives, policies. And these would be our outputs. And so really, I guess our goals are threefold here. At the state level, it's the outputs and the relationships. So these are our outcomes at the state level. And we've found that the more we do this work, the more that the relationships have been building and the trust has been growing, we're able to go deeper and deeper into the work really embedding health inequity into state guidance. And then the third goal that we have is really to impact and influence that local policy processes and programs with the ultimate goal of hopefully achieving improved health equity at the local level. And so now that you have a little bit more information about who we are, I want to actually go into just quickly a little bit of the basics of general plans. So again, as I said, general plans most other places are known as comprehensive plans. And these are long-range planning, land use planning documents. And I've heard the city manager I used to work for the city of Richmond used to call it the land use constitution. And so this provides the real vision and direction for how a local community is going to develop over time with respect to land use. And we in public health know that land use it's more than just about building walkable and bikeable communities, but really has influences on, you know, where affordable housing is built, is there access to affordable foods, community economic development, climate change, and so much more. And so we know that all of these things have profound impacts on health, and we want to ensure that these are positive impacts on health. And then one of the unique things that California does, and I'm not sure if any of the other states do this, but the state provides actual guidance on how to do these comprehensive plans or general plans. And so historically, this work has really, the general plan guidelines has all been on the statutorily required elements. So there are 7 different elements that are statutorily required in the state of California. There's an 8th element that's not included on here, that's air quality, that's for only the San Joaquin Valley. And so in the past, the state has only provided this specific guidance on these 7 elements. And for the first time, we are looking at actually providing guidance on 4 new non-mandatory themes. And these include health, equity, climate change, and economic development. And so this is a really big step forward for us, and it's a really exciting time for us in the Department of Public Health, but also at the state at large. And you know, one of the reasons that we're really looking at providing this guidance is we're hearing from the local communities that they need more help on these areas. And so in response to that, the state has issued we're still in draft form, but working to issue this guidance really to help promote sustainability and health equity and sustainability at the local level, but also just to really set the agenda and push the state forward. And I'll say, as you probably know, California is a fairly large state. We have 38 million people, 58 counties, 482 incorporated cities, and every single city and county in the state of California is required to have a general plan. So in terms of the reach of this work, it's quite profound. Now, general plans don't have to be updated on any sort of regular time frame, but we've been looking at the general plans to date, and about 50% of them are over 15 years old. And so we're hoping that with this tool, we can actually provide resources for locals to integrate more health and equity into their work. Okay, so backing up one step even further, we want to talk a little bit about the process that we use to integrate health into the general plan guidelines. So this work, it didn't happen overnight. So in 2010, when the task force was formed, we did a series of stakeholder engagement, both within the state or in state government as well as out in the public. And one of the things that we heard from residents at the time was, if the state could integrate health into the general plan guidelines, that would go a really long way in helping them build healthier communities at the local level. And at the time, the state really wasn't ready to be able to do this. But over the last 5 years, with the development and building of those relationships, it's become a real priority for the Governor's Office of Planning and Research. And so just to talk a little about what has changed in the last 5 years, we have a number of different federal policies and legislation that have come through, but also a number of state policies and legislation. And so particularly, I think the AB 32, which is our greenhouse gas reduction bill, and SB 375, which is a sustainable communities bill, are two major pieces of legislation that has helped move this work forward and bringing public health into the planning fold and helping to recognize that these planning decisions have profound impacts on public health. For example, with the greenhouse gas reduction bill, the state has very aggressive goals at reducing our greenhouse gases, and one of the primary strategies that we're using is to reduce the number of single occupancy vehicles. And now, in order to do that, the government, we're proposing shifting to more active transportation, so biking, walking, public transportation. And these, as we know, have really profound public health co-benefits in terms of increased physical activity. So on the flip side, in terms of planning, we've seen a really great shift in how planners are also thinking about health in the last 5 to 10 years. So this is from the California Planning Roundtable. And in 2013, the California Planning Roundtable adopted a healthy communities framework and worked very closely with our health and all policies team as well as other health professionals from across the state to think about how they want to develop their framework for developing healthy communities. And it's not just in California. There are other organizations both inside California and outside, including the American Planning Association, Urban Institute, and many more local planning organizations who are integrating health and equity into their planning considerations. And I do want to say the other thing that has helped move this work forward is we've seen at the local level a large number of local communities taking initiative and actually going ahead and integrating health into their planning their general plans. We now have a critical mass where we at the state can really start taking action and helping to provide additional guidance to those communities who maybe aren't quite as far along. And so the process that we engaged in was really one looking at what evidence already exists. So we, as I said, we know that there's a lot of locals who are already doing this work, and there are other states that are doing this work. And so the Governor's Office of Planning and Research engaged in a really aggressive learning session. And so they conducted key informant interviews with over 20 different agencies and departments within the state of California, with over 70 local agencies, basically trying to learn from what already exists in terms of how to integrate health and equity into planning. And then specifically for public health, we worked with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research to bring together a number of stakeholders. So early again in 2013, started with presentations really on, again, some of the basics of what planning is, so kind of laying the foundation for how public health can be involved in planning and general plan guidelines. And then there was a series of different interviews, again, with local officers and local departments of public health stakeholders. There was a series of meetings that the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network organized across the state with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research. And then we at the Department of Public Health actually held a series of three workshops where we identified key experts in various issues and brought them to the table to actually talk about what were the data sources that we should be considering, what are the policies that we should be considering, and how do we actually operationalize these different public health ideas. So, and from all of that stakeholder input for the public health, there are literally hundreds of pages of notes, and culled through all of these notes and pulled out these eight different key public health themes. And so they range from active living and recreation, food systems, social cohesion and safety, healthy housing, environmental health. And you know, furthermore, there's just the real goal from all this work was being able to provide tangible guidance on how locals can implement these factors into their general plan guidelines. And so I just want to share a couple, I'm looking at the time, okay, a couple of just quick examples. Within the guidelines, part of the goal was actually to make it easier for locals to be able to do this work. And so we have different data sources that will be provided, for example, for active living and recreation, things like geospatial disease, so looking at the prevalence of childhood obesity across a community, or geospatial amenities, looking at where parks and grocery stores are. And then there's a list of example policies, so establish active design standards, incorporate existing pedestrian, bike, and safety into safe routes, schools, master plans, and et cetera. And then below, we're actually providing some language from different local communities who have already done some of this work. And here's another example in terms of social cohesion and safety. And one of the priority policies that came out of this was looking at doing SEPTED, or crime prevention through environmental design. So I want to shift really quickly in the last few minutes that I have and just take a step back and think about what's going on beyond the state of California. So this is a map. It was from a study done by the American Planning Association in 2011. They sent out surveys to local jurisdictions from across the United States and had about 800 or so respondents asking what jurisdictions already consider health in their general plans or comprehensive plans. And other respondents, about 31% already do this. So this is in part just to show that this isn't just a California thing, that there are opportunities to do this at all local levels across the United States. And for those who don't have specific health objectives or goals, there are a lot of opportunities to engage and actually start thinking about health, even if it doesn't have the word health around it. And so things to consider: recreation, public safety, brownfields, food access, nutrition, and clinical services. And these are all opportunities where local departments of public health can get involved, integrating health into those comprehensive plans. So in terms of what is next for us, the draft for public comment for the general plan guidelines we're hoping will be released in early 2015. And then we as a task force will be engaged in doing some public comments on that. There's also a co-learning series that the Governor's Office of Planning and Research is launching, really bringing together health experts and planning experts from across the state to actually help build some of those relationships. Through this work, there are a lot of relationships and partnerships have been built both within the state, but also with the state and many local jurisdictions. So really to continue to work to build those partnerships and then ultimately track our outcomes. And that concludes my presentation. I know it looks like we have a couple of minutes for questions. Thank you again. It's really been a pleasure speaking with you. Something that we are also asking ourselves. And I know a couple of the other panels are going to be talking about health impact assessments, but I think about HIAs as a tool to do health in all policies. And I think a lot of times they're talked about together, but I think about HIAs oftentimes as discrete individual projects. And there are opportunities to do that in planning. I'll let the other panels touch on that a little bit more. Yeah, up here in the front. That's a great question. So they're currently going through the CEQA guidelines and updating those, and I don't believe that health impact assessments as we talk about them are being integrated. I think there are opportunities for public health to become more involved in doing that kind of early engagement. And it doesn't have to be quote-unquote HIAs. I think, part of the goal of health impact assessments is actually to consider health early in the planning phase, which some of having, health considered at the general plan or the comprehensive plan level is the first step in doing that, is actually saying, okay, what do our plans, what are our land use planning what are the impacts that that will have on health, and how are we considering that early on? A question in the back. Yeah. Well, as you may or may not remember, Governor Schwarzenegger, two of his main issues were climate change and childhood obesity. And these are both issues that there's really no one department, agency, or office that owns climate change or owns childhood obesity. And I think it touches so many different departments that he came to the realization that we needed a different strategy, and so he created two different bodies in California. So he created the Strategic Growth Council, which is a cabinet-level body. It's made up of, I believe, six different secretaries, including Health and Human Services, and three public members, to address specifically environmental sustainability and looking at primarily climate change. And then he also created the Health and All Policies Task Force to look a little bit more specifically at the health considerations that we can integrate into different fields. And the Health and All Policies Task Force is housed beneath the Strategic Growth Council, though it's facilitated by the Department of Public Health.